Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into Phase I of South Africa's National Infrastructure Plan 2050, the NIP 2050, published back in March 2022.
That's right. And this isn't just another plan gathering dust. Its core mission, really, is to clear the way for the National Development Plan's vision of inclusive growth.
How does it plan to do that?
Well, primarily by tackling those long-standing institutional blockages. We're talking about legacy problems, you know, particularly in state-owned companies. Issues that led directly to things like, well, load shedding and major rail delays.
Okay, and the scale we're looking at here is just huge, isn't it? The estimates suggest needing over R6 trillion for infrastructure between 2016 and 2040 to hit those NDP goals.
Staggering, yeah. R6 trillion. And this Phase I zeroes in on four absolutely critical network sectors. These are the areas where the public sector really needs to drive change, starting with energy.
Energy. Makes sense given the challenges. What's the plan there?
It's probably the most urgent institutional reform needed. The main goal is a big shift from coal towards sustainability and, importantly, least cost options, so think solar and wind.
Right.
And capacity needs a massive boost. Installed capacity has to go from about 53 gigawatts in 2018 up to somewhere between 100.
That's more than doubling, potentially tripling capacity. How on earth do you achieve that?
Well, it fundamentally requires structural reform. The market has to change to allow private players to really step in. Decentralized power is key. And of course, the big one, unbundling ESCOM.
The split into generation, transmission, distribution.
Exactly. Separating those is crucial, especially transmission making, that an independent entity means it can buy power from anyone, not just ESCOM's old coal fleet. That really opens the door for private generation.
Okay. Does that same kind of institutional focus apply to the next sector, freight transport? We hear so much about logistics bottlenecks.
It absolutely does. The NIP calls for an integrated policy specifically to push freight off the roads and back onto rail.
And there's a figure for that deficit, isn't there?
Yes, a big one. The sources point to a deficit of 40 billion ton kilometers currently on road that really should be on rail.
40 billion ton kilometers. Just think about what that means. Massive wear and tear on roads, congestion, inefficiency for businesses trying to export.
Precisely. So the core institutional change needed there is commercial separation within Transnet Freight Rail. Basically, turning the rail network into something more like a tolled highway where private operators can pay to run their own trains on the tracks.
Yeah, fostering competition.
Exactly. It's seen as the only practical way to handle that huge shift in freight volume.
Okay, third sector, water. The goal is universal, reliable access, but there are warnings about future supply.
Yeah, this is serious stuff. The projections show a potential water demand deficit demand outstripping supply of between 1.6 billion and 2.7 billion cubic meters by 2030, if nothing significant changes.
That's not far away.
Not far at all. So again, it requires major institutional reform, like establishing a single effective national water regulator to handle planning, investment, making sure the resource is secure.
And the fourth area, digital communications.
Right. The NDP set a clear goal here. Seamless, universal, high-speed broadband. We're talking at least 10 megabits per second for 100% of the population by 2030.
And how's that progressing?
Well, coverage has improved, certainly. But the plan notes cost, and those tricky last-mile connections are still big barriers for many people. Success really depends on getting public-private partnerships moving faster and, crucially, finalizing things that have been delayed for ages, like digital migration and getting spectrum auctioned off.
Okay, so four huge sectors, all needing institutional reform. Let's talk money. We mentioned R6 trillion total needed, but the plan flags a finance gap, right?
Yes, a significant one. Estimated around R2.15 trillion that needs to be sourced somehow.
2 trillion rand, how do they plan to bridge that?
It really comes down to embracing blended finance. The government is using its infrastructure fund, managed via the DBSA, the Development Bank of Southern Africa. The idea is to use about R100 billion of public money over 10 years, specifically to leverage or crowd in much larger private sector investment.
So using public funds to make it safer for private institutions to invest.
Exactly that. The DBSA's role is vital because they specialize in managing the kinds of risks involved in these big, long-term public projects, making them more attractive to those institutional investors.
And it's not just plans on paper. We're actually seeing some movement.
Definitely signs of progress. The ESCOM unbundling is happening, albeit slowly. And maybe even more impactful in the short term was lifting the embedded generation license cap, jumping from just 1 megawatt up to 100 megawatts.
Ah, allowing businesses to generate much more of their own power.
Right. It was a huge immediate boost for private power generation potential.
So when you boil it all down, what's the central theme of this Phase I?
Fundamentally, it's about strengthening the institutions responsible for delivery. That's the absolute top priority. Professionalizing the whole cycle, from planning and finance through procurement and managing the assets long term, making sure projects actually get finished and work properly.
Okay. So for you listening to this, what's the takeaway? The plan is detailed, ambitious, focuses on fixing the system, but it also explicitly calls out major external risks. Things like crime, violence, extortion, the so-called construction mafia, and corruption. The NIP itself says these must be mitigated for the whole thing to be viable.
It's a critical point.
So the final thought is this. Beyond the institutional reforms, beyond the finance models, what concrete steps are needed? What level of security and law enforcement is actually required to create that safe, ethical environment where our $6 trillion worth of vital public infrastructure can actually be built and maintained? That seems to be the underlying challenge here.